Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, Reiki Master Energy Teacher and author of the newest book in a trilogy, A New Life Awaits, Spirit Guided Insights to Support Global Awakening, which shares stories and messages from Spirit that show us our challenges are often not merely economic, political, or societal, but a disconnect from our true being or soul wisdom. In today's show, I welcome Elka Schultz, author of Anxiety Warrior, who will help us understand the nature of anxiety, fear-based energy, depression that leads to procrastination, feeling unwell, and holding us back from creating the happy, purposeful life we all desire and deserve. Hello, Elka, and thank you for joining us on Healing From Within to share your thoughts on creating practices to help deal with the trauma and stresses of life, which are anxiety, fear, and depression.
Wow, thank you so much, Sherry. Appreciate it. And I appreciate and honor the opportunity to share.
Okay. Elka, as listeners of Healing From Within well know, my introspective guests and I share intimate stories of discovering we are really indeed more than our physical bodies, and that everyday problems can bring fear and worry into our thinking process. By discovering more about ourselves and the personal power we possess within, we can learn to deal with past trauma, fear that creates anxiety, and often lower the level of discomfort in mind, body, or spirit to manageable levels so we can feel and respond differently to any troublesome event. In today's episode of Healing From Within, Elka Schultz will share strategies and exercises and the thoughts of five contributors to her book who share her passion to empower people to realize their inner strengths. Elka Schultz will guide you to go from feeling like a victim of anxiety to an empowered warrior over it. And there's nothing better than that. And in your book, you have absolutely discovered and deliver practices that will work.
Absolutely. And you're right. I've got five contributors who are just as passionate and just have made a list at the end of all these great strategies that we can do right now. Like, they're very accessible. So I'm really excited to share
and we'll get to it. Yes, we will. We will share it.
You gave me a lot of food there ahead of time. So one of the things that you mentioned, and I agree wholeheartedly, is that, you know, regular life can wear us down, and life doesn't always dole it out evenly. And so one of the things that I do, and you're right, we need to keep up our resilience and our strength. And one of those things that I do every day is I do my daily practice. So I'm constantly filling my cup with affirmations and mantras and gratitude and reflection. And that sets the tone and the channel for where I want to go in the day.
Absolutely.
And I find that investment, and I call it an investment because sometimes, and I've been there where I rushed, you know, get out of bed and rushed into the day, and of course things would drop or go backwards. And when I find I take this reflection time that, I choose how I enter the day, and there's a sense of centering, and, you know, if I do get unbalanced, which is natural, then I just take five. I just sit down and regroup. And it's such an important thing to do.
Absolutely. A spiritual practice is necessary in order to handle all the challenges coming from the outside world. Our inner world has to be strong, and we have to do certain things to make that happen. It doesn't come without consistency and putting in the effort. But I wanted to ask you, I always love to ask all my guests to think back to their childhood. We're going to start to find how this all began. your interest and your passion. And remember, a person, place, or event that may have suggested to you or others around you the interest and work and lifestyle that you're going to embrace as an adult. Because I believe the path is already within the heart and soul of the child for a destiny they will discover along the way. So think back.
Oh, I remember.
I know
I
you do.
I remember so clearly, and I've recalled the story. I remember being 5 years old, and my nose just went above my dresser, and my eyes, I saw my eyes in the mirror, and I remember looking in the mirror and thinking that I felt so old. And yes, as a five-year-old, I didn't understand what that meant. Though I always had this sense of a child that I was watching, and I was watching people around me, situations, and I was also that child that asked questions that had adults scratching their heads. And so, yeah, I knew then, and I also wrote as soon as I could write, and I still have a collection of these papers that I would write poems and poetry, so it started very early on, and I knew I would be writing a book. I knew that from an early age, and yeah, and I've had lots of interesting experiences that remind me of being that, I think, an old soul.
Well, you know, I always heard that said, and I never really quite understood it, but what you just described was me also as a child. I would listen to the adults, and I would say, why don't they understand? They're not behaving in the right way. I would sense and see, and I would cry. That was my way of getting their attention to try to redirect them. But we were aware of things. Now, you wrote something in the book, and you wrote, I have, because this goes along with this sensitivity that you were born with, and I was born with it also. And you wrote, I have had anxiety all my life, but I did not always know it. As a child, I had migraines, tummy aches, and flushes feelings so often that I had to miss school. My mom believed me, however, my dad did not think I was truly sick. And you weren't, of course. You were just sensitive to energy and the feelings and thoughts of other people.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I would be the kid that cried in the back if the teacher was giving someone else heck, and I would be crying. And I remember sitting there, and I still remember these times. I'd sit there and go, why am I crying? Because I knew I wasn't in trouble. And I didn't understand.
What you were, and I was the same way. You were overwhelmed by the energy of the events, right?
Yes.
And you didn't have the boundaries to protect your sensitive chakras and your connection to spirit. You were highly sensitive and talented and gifted. And you write, I remember as a teen feeling angry, hopeless, misunderstood, and very alone until I met my two very special teachers. You want to tell us about them?
Yeah, they were pretty incredible, and I remember Mr. Hodwitz, and I talk about him in the book, and he knows that. I had the pleasure of telling him that he saved my life. I felt like he saved my life.
Beautiful.
He was a drama teacher, and I remember also my dad didn't want me to take the course. My dad, being very practical, wanted me to be in the sciences, and he wanted me to have a good education, and my father didn't understand how I was very applied, tactile. I was also very sensory, and he called drama a Mickey Mouse course, and which is terrible. But I argued and said, then I'll just sit in the library if you're not going to let me take it. Because I had, at that time, we had to have so many courses to finish high school, and I was way beyond, and really wanted to take the drama.
That's wonderful.
Remember that class really influenced how I facilitate. That teacher just was amazing. He'd come in the class, and he'd look at us, and he'd go, yeah, we're going to do this instead. He could read us. He was very sensitive.
Intuitive,
And
his
yeah,
intuition.
we've talked since about some of the exercises and how he facilitated. And I got that from him, which is really great. And then my other teacher,
Well, let me just say it was in your life
sure.
plan. Every person we meet who comes into our plan, every experience we have actually is empowering our soul to gather new expressive energy, to be more creative. And nothing is random, you know?
Right.
Nothing's good or bad. It's just experience, and it's the way we look at it. You mentioned also, this was interesting, these teachers saved your life, and after their classes, I felt I would be okay in the worlds. And you used the word worlds. What did you mean by that?
Well, be prior to that, so dialing it back is I felt like a misfit. I felt like a square peg trying to go in a round hole. I was very much I felt different. I dressed differently. I mean, I had friends. I was not ever bullied or anything like that, which is interesting when I think back now. And I didn't really belong anywhere. However, the kids all kind of, if I was near them, they would talk to me. So it was okay. But so I also thought I didn't understand what I was going to do with my life, and I felt so misplaced. And I think, again, it's back. I was, my parents were directing me in a direction that wasn't fitting for me. And I know that they meant well. I'm
Of
not angry
course,
about that, but
yeah.
It just, I didn't fit. I didn't fit in school. I didn't fit in the subjects, that my father wanted me to take. So when I took these two classes, the other one was Mrs. Yao, and she taught creative English, and that's where she had us compile all our poetries and writings. That's when I started journaling. And I just felt like there was something, I don't know, I'm making a hand, if you can see me, sort of this flame coming up in my soul that started to come alive and get kindled, and I think too acknowledged. And so after that, I felt, okay, there's people that understand me or can hear me. And maybe, there's something I can do in this world. And I meant the world. I meant as in society, people, as relationships, anything, just to be.
Yeah, you had a lot to offer the world, and you had to find your way to bring all this creative energy into the world to help people heal, to help people be whole in a holistic way. And you've done it with your book. And I also, 25 years ago, was told that I would write three books, and I said, I don't think so. But you see, spirit knows where we're going and when we're going there. And during these last 25 years, I removed myself from the process my father and mother wanted me to be on in business and in the world to retain my own spiritual awareness once again and develop those talents. See, my father was like you, was very methodical. He was a podiatrist, and he wanted me also to be in academics and not the, he called it the airy fairy world.
Yep, I've heard that. Yep.
So at any rate, that's when I began to meditate and develop my spiritual practice and to meet lots of people who guided me, right? And I have completed what I was supposed to do, the three books, the trilogy. So we were born to do this, and it was
Yes,
only a
I believe that.
matter
I really do,
of, oh,
and it fits, it
absolutely.
feels right.
It does feel good, and it's brought such happiness and peace into my own soul. I know you feel the same way, and so do many of our listeners out there who have struggled with some of the same issues. They're not really problems. They're ways towards our spiritual growth and to connect us more fully to each other through love and compassion. and the rising of this passion within us, which is coming from our soul, which has experienced so many lifetimes besides this one. And that's what you meant when you were an old soul. And I didn't understand that in those days because I didn't believe in that concept. But
no, and I didn't understand it either as a kid. I was puzzled. And I looked in my eyes, and I've actually written a little story about it, which I have since thought that I need to share this with my kids because they don't even know this about me that I've had that experience, and it's just really interesting.
When you looked in your eyes,
feeling very puzzled as a child.
When you looked in your eyes, did you see a great light? When you looked in your eyes, did you see a great light?
Sorry?
Did you see a great light when you looked in your eyes?
No, I just remember. I just remember looking and I guess I'd have to think about it a bit more. But I just remember looking in my eyes and I had this feeling, more a feeling of feeling really old and older than old, like older than my parents, older than grandparents. Like it just this real sense of oldness, and I found it very puzzling because I didn't understand the concept either, but it just had that feeling. So I didn't really, I remember just going away and away from the mirror.
It didn't scare you, but you remember it, and that's why it's important.
It didn't
because
scare me
now
at all,
you
no.
understand it.
Oh.
But let's get back to. It's important our listeners know what is anxiety and how can we start a checklist of the things that trigger a person's anxiety. So what is anxiety?
One of the main things is make sure, the daily practice we talked about. The other is really take care of your sleep. And I think a lot of us, and I know in North America this is a thing, is that so many people don't sleep well. My clients that I see in my office, pretty much all of them, when they come in, they're not sleeping well, and that's one of the things we really work on, and that can come from so many directions. And Sherry, the reason I mention it is it only takes 3 to 4 nights of bad sleep in a row, and we already go to that worry, negative thinking, and good sleep really does help us rejuvenate, and we need that to be resilient and to do those things like daily practice and to be able to do the other things that we need to do self-care. So getting that good sleep. The other thing that I think is really important is, and you mentioned about being empathetic, and that can be a good thing and then it can be not a good thing. And we need to protect ourselves and a shield. This is very practical. I learned it through two places. Firstly, in Tai Chi, and then secondly in EMDR. However, the tapping and the concept, it's very similar. So if people can think of if you put your arm out, and it's interesting, I've got my arm out right now. So I'm very kinesthetic. So it's if you can put your arm out, so at arm's length, and our spirit energy does go further than that. However, if we can even create some kind of protection or field that is around us, and whether sometimes we use the thing about my space or my hula hoop, that kind of idea of protecting ourselves, and it doesn't mean that we're shutting ourselves off at all. It just means that we're going to be discriminating on what energy we take in, and there's no judgment there. Just sometimes there's energy we just don't want in our field, and then there's energy that's okay with that. So it's important to have a shield and protect ourselves.
I do when I go... Usually when I go into new locations where I don't when I don't know what the energy will be like, I just ground myself. I think of myself as a tree and the roots going into the ground, and I breathe it up and send it into the universe. And I surround myself with this protective shield.
Nice.
And I ask to be protected. And I close my
Lovely. And
chakras the other way.
there's and I do it all the time now too. And Tai Chi, I learned it as she said it in your chi area, so just under your belly button. She said, imagine a lotus flower, though don't have it open all the way.
Right.
And she said, if you then if something comes in that doesn't feel right, you can quickly close it. Or if there's love or joy that you want to let that in, you can open it. And so that's how I learned it initially. And so your tree, that works lovely. I do protection around myself. I also do it around my property and, of course, my loved
Yes.
ones. And we're so energetic. And, when we slow down, we can connect with each other's energy. And it is really lovely. And I keep thinking of what you said earlier about rejoice, 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 because that's what that's what we aspire to. And we all deserve to thrive. We all deserve to really celebrate this miracle of life that we have. Every single moment is so precious. And
Well, people forget that. This is what happens. I even have to be reminded. I had a medium tell me not too long ago when I asked the question, well, what am I supposed to be doing now? I've done this and this and this, but I don't want to miss the mark, and I want to use my abilities to help as many people as possible. So she says to me, well, the guides say all you have to do is rejoice, rejoice, and rejoice. You don't have to do anything more. So then, in being happy, in being healthy, we're already sending out energy to help so many other people, right? So,
And that's so lovely. It's perfect.
yeah.
And I
But
think
I had to be
too,
reminded.
and I have to be reminded. And I think that's, well, that's, I know that's why my daily practice is so important is, and it has been enhanced. It keeps getting enhanced. And I get excited about that because, I've been doing this practice for many years and have been feeling really good. My life has changed. I've manifested so many amazing things in my life. And then to do this practice and to celebrate. And, I don't wake up every day with this inner dance. Sometimes I wake up and I'm mopey. And
Of
then
course,
I.
we're only human, so we
Exactly.
have
And
all these
so I think it's
emotions.
important for listeners to hear
Right.
because, sometimes they think, oh, she's always happy. And no. So the thing is, that daily practice, I can evoke loving memories, I can evoke gratitude, I can bring that back into my life, I can choose the channel that I want to enter my day with, and of course, then it just keeps rolling. And if I've got the dropsies, or I'm cranky, or I'm muttering under my breath, I stop myself and say, whoa, that's not the energy you want here. Come back to the fantastic, the great life that you have. And even when we're being challenged, right now I've had a groundhog that's been decimating my garden. And there's been this challenge around all that, and it's been the first time that's ever happened. So, and I've noticed the stress, and today, my whole mantra has been, you know what? It doesn't wreck today. You've got some really cool things going on. Life is good. This will sort
Absolutely.
itself out.
Let the little creature have a little treat also. It's not all that important. I have the same thing going on. I have these beautiful little rabbits that have
Oh, yeah, I do too.
never been on my property before. And yeah, they're eating some of the, but I love them. They're so beautiful. It's like a little vision of nature so close to my door. And I just accept it, whatever. It's all okay. Now, you were talking about manifesting for a minute. Let's let our listeners know something. I've been thinking about that since reading your book. And I was thinking back to when I've been manifesting all my life, but I never knew it. I would get thoughts and I would say, gee, I like that idea. I'm going to do it. And within a week or so, I had a new business. The other day I said to my assistant, I gave her a reading and she offered to pay me. And I said, well, no, but I do have to be paid for my services. That's the best way for the service to be valuable to you. So, but if you want to find me a little treat somewhere, nothing too much, then you go out and do it. And the next week she came back to me, and she brought me this little tree of life. She went into a karma store, a holistic store. It's called Karma. It's in my town. And she gave me this little tree of life with these little precious stones on it, colored chakra-colored stones. And I got so excited because in a reading that I gave my daughter 2 weeks before, there had been the same vision of this little tree of life and this message to her that all the friends and family she was gathering around her and helping were her true joy in life.
Nice.
And I said, you see, I gave it, I thought it, I liked it, and this girl found it for me. Now, it's happening to everyone, these beautiful little miracles. It's just they're not paying attention, but you and I and many other people listening today are paying attention. So that's what manifesting is.
One of the things I did was I started a little miracle book because I found, and again, in my humanness, I would trip and get mopey, and I thought, oh, I'm going to start keeping track of miracles. And I the ones that are maybe profound, they're happening all the time, of course. And just having these books and finishing them, it's so amazing. And it reminds us, and you're right, there's miracles happening all the time. And with manifesting, I always, as a kid, thought I was lucky. And
me too.
I don't know where I got the idea, but
I thought I was
lucky.
So smart, was so lucky.
And so I was always lucky. And the other interesting thing is, I actually, and I didn't know this, but as a single mom, I lived in poverty most of that time, and I didn't know that, which was interesting. I didn't know that till later. I always felt lucky. I always felt blessed. I always had enough. And there was one day I wanted to change my life, which is in the book and that, but I did go back to school, and I've totally changed my life. And it's so interesting that I didn't think that I was in poverty. I always believed I was blessed. I always believed I was lucky. So, of course, I was.
And you know what? I also didn't have much as a child, but I never thought I was poor. I was always happy. I was smart. I had friends in school. I had a lovely family, aunts and uncles and cousins and grandparents. That's our spiritual sense of gratitude. And I want to thank you, Elka Schultz, for sharing practical and creative ways to deal with anxiety, which is, as we all know, and can be a debilitating obstacle when not understood. It can sap energy, cause undue worry and stress, and can lead to all manner of physical ailments as the body attempts to process all the emotional triggers and reactions that are happening at light speed within. So to read about ways to deal with these feelings and to conquer anxiety and to become an anxiety warrior, and to purchase this book, go to anxietywarrior.ca. In summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, Elka Schultz and her participant authors in her book, Anxiety Warrior, have offered many practical methods, techniques, and solutions to anxiety, and also to understanding your uniqueness through anxiety, which often shows up early in life and can show up also unexpected in our lives at different times, whether regularly or once in a while, and how by paying attention to these feelings, we can also start to realize it's a gift to expand our understanding and love for life, and we can recognize changes to situations and people and events causing any feelings of discomfort or stress, and we can do it efficiently and quickly. Elka has helped readers discover how connection and relationships can ease anxiety. And she writes, inclusion, belonging, and relationship help to promote a sense of safety and reduce the experience of anxiety. Elka and I would like you to take steps towards awareness and practice by identifying your mental blocks, facing the dragons or imagined fears, and realizing quite possibly you are often your own worst enemy, and this actually limits achieving your greatest joys and moments of success by these perceived fears. You see, they're not real. Often they're just perceived. And you can make new perceptions in your brain development and choices that can bring about the changes you truly desire. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within and author of A New Life Awaits, Spirit Guided Insights to Support Global Awakening. And I invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, to learn about the world of energy, eternal life, science, spirituality, metaphysics, psychology, medicine, healing, the arts and music, and to find ways to self-investigate your inner being and the world around you. Shows may also be heard on WebTalkRadio.net and DreamVision7Radio.com. Thank you.